League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everyone, welcome to Out the First. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for joining us. We're going to go over a little bit of what happened over the course of the weekend. A whole bunch of interesting stuff went down. They had a tournament shortened to 36 holes, even though they were going to play 54, then it went to 36. That was a strange thing. Got a weird finish to the PGA Tour event at the Nelson. We had a live event in front of basically zero people in Singapore after a lot of people or a lot more people in Adelaide, Australia, the week prior. We've got some changes to the major championship field for next week. We've got a very small field this week, so there's a lot going on. You can get a hold of me, Ryan, @thegolfnewsnet.com, on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky @RyanBallingy. You can find me on Facebook and YouTube @RyanBallingyGolf as well. So let's start with the Nelson. I have to admit, I did not watch a lot of the Nelson. I watched Sunday. It was a crazy weekend for me and my family. So my son, as I believe I mentioned, was in a production of Newsies Junior to School. School puts on a musical in the springtime for 5th through 8th grades, and he'd never been on stage, went to give it a try. And he got to play, if you've ever seen Newsies, Morris DeLancey, who's one of the kind of rough and tough guys. And he had a great time. They did three shows, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and had a really long week of rehearsal and stuff like that leading into it. He did a fabulous job. It was really, really cool to watch him. I really admire him taking on stuff like that. I always wanted to try something like that, try doing a production, see if I was any good at that kind of thing. And just sports and life got in the way in high school. We didn't have anything like that in middle school. So I'm glad he got a chance to do it. And he seems to have enjoyed it. So maybe it's something he'll do for the next couple of years, at least at the school. So that's cool. And then my daughter had her first communion over the weekend on Saturday. So Saturday was nuts. We had 11 people out for lunch in my family between my in-laws and my parents and my family of four. So it's been a heck of a weekend. So I didn't get to see a whole lot until Sunday. And I had talked about this tournament, obviously, on our golf betting show, The Press, and said, hey, you know, I really like Taylor Pendrith this week. I think he could line up very well on this golf course. You get to Sunday, the matinee happens for the show. He's still in there. That's going well. And got home and go, okay, well, we got a chance. We got to turn this thing on. And then Ben Coles plays a great round of golf. Ben's very good buddies with Denny McCarthy, who plays out of our club, UVA product. Similar in age, you know, very similar in age. Played just great golf out the gate when he turned pro on the Korn Ferry Tour. I think won twice, either in a row or in three starts or something. I mean, very quickly. Got to the tour, couldn't kind of cut it. Has been up and down all these years since and has found his footing a little bit here. He was 300-1, I believe, at the start of the week. Plays what amounts to a nearly flawless round on Sunday. Makes a great 25-30 footer on the 17th par 3. And Taylor Pendrith, for his part, got up and down from what they made seem like a tough lie after his tee shot rolled off the green, rolled back off the green. But they get to 18. Coles is up a shot. It's a par 5. It's reachable for everybody. And Coles hits an okay drive, not very long, not bad, but not very good. Pendrith rocks one right down the middle, carries 320, rolls about a half a foot. Pendrith gets to the back of the green in two. Coles winds up short. They're playing a threesome. Jake Knapp, who was in contention, winds up in the greenside bunker and does his thing to get up and down. And then it's up to Coles, who, if he gets up and down from this lie just short of the greenside bunker in front, is definitely winning the tournament. Because there's almost no chance of Pendrith making a 45-50 footer for Eagle to win. And he just straight up chunked it. I mean, hit good 3-4 inches behind the ball. And didn't go in the bunker, but he had to stand in the bunker for the next one. chips that out, does well enough to get to 5 or 6 feet. Pendrith cozies it down to 2 feet. You know that thing's going in for birdie. And Coles just misses the 5-footer. Left side, never either pulled it or it never moved, one or the other. And he taps it in, knows his chance is gone, and Pendrith rolls right up and taps it in, doesn't waste any time, wins the golf tournament. Now he's a PGA Tour winner. And the look on Taylor Pendrith's wife's face, her name's Meg, the look on her face when that putt didn't go in, it looked like she was going to puke for Ben Coles. She could not believe that it happened. I don't think anyone watching could believe that happened. That's an easy par five for you and me if we played it at, you know, the length we would play it at. For a professional golfer, I mean, that's a pitch and putt kind of hole, and he just couldn't do it. Winning's hard, really hard. And even though I had the winning ticket, I just, man, that didn't, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good watching someone lose that way. And it feels kind of weird watching someone win that way. But that's what happens. That's why you play all 72 holes. And what they wound up with was Taylor Pendrith being the winner. So congratulations to him. There's no LPGA event. There's no Korn Ferry Tour event. There was the Volvo China Open, which was shortened to 54 holes because of weather. Adrian Ortega won for the fifth time. Again, I saw zero of that. And then the LIV Singapore event, Brooks Koepka won. He is the first player to win 4 LIV golf events, which, on one hand, that sounds great because Brooks Koepka is a good player, but they've played like 30 of them. So he has won approximately 1 in every 7.5. That's the exact number. 1 in every 7 LIV events. Well, this is supposed to be a league that, like, the best of the best. Is that, you know, that's the way it's billed as. But there, if you looked at the concentration of winners between Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, I think they have 7 between them. Throw in Taylor Gooch. He's got, what, 3, right? So there's half the events they've ever played on LIV Golf between those players. And it's very evident that this is not a tour for a lot of people. Right? That's just, I think it's more of an indictment. But that all said, Brooks wins in the tournament leading to the PGA Championship, a title he has to defend, a title he has won 3 times in 6 years. He may be the greatest PGA Championship player of all time by the time we're done with this, which may or may not come with its own problems, but in terms of legacy, but he's got 5 majors, and I think he's probably keen on getting a 6th at a golf course that will probably suit his eye. So, his character is so interesting from that perspective that from out of nowhere, he can decide, you know what, I'm going to give a crap and win, and then does. And the shot that I saw him hit, I saw probably 2 minutes of the first round on Thursday night when I was watching an NBA game too. And he hit a shot on a par 5 through a window of palm trees that was probably 15 feet wide, and he hit it over water onto the green of a par 5. And I thought, well, dang, this guy's winning this tournament. And he did. So I wonder if that shot made him lock in, like, hey, I've got it. Like, let's do this thing. He's a very interesting cat from that regard. But also, no one was watching and no one cared. So you have that too. It's very hard to watch and interpret LIV. So you got that. Then just today they had TGL announce their franchise in the Bay Area, the Bay Area Club. And you have really a pretty freaking stacked roster for that team. And I don't know how you get away with that kind of thing. So John Rahm is obviously out, right? Because he is now a part of LIV Golf. But if you look at the roster for this Bay Golf Club, you've got Wyndham Clark, Ludwig Ober, Minwoo Lee, and Shane Lowry. What a freaking team. What a team. I don't know how any of this stuff is going to go, but how do you allow that to happen? I mean, I know this is just like for shits and giggles, right? Like, this isn't, I have to think about this the same way I think about LIV, right? Like, all right, we're saying we've got teams here, And they are effectively meaningless, like the points in Whose Line Is It Anyway. But what a team! And you got Steph Curry, Andre Iguodala, Klay Thompson are part of the ownership group, along with a company called Avenue Sports. And they have created this thing, and it'll launch with the league next year in January. So there you go. I mean, they got some big boy owners on these things. I don't know if that'll mean anything, but they've got some big boy owners. I think what they've got to reckon with this thing with TGL is, yeah, you've got this facility in Jupiter, you know, in Palm Beach, and you've built this thing, but do you need venues purpose-built maybe even for your franchises if you're going to do this longer than, you know, a couple years? Because not having fans able to come physically watch the players play is kind of dumb, which again, I will emphasize, I think TGL's best move is to just be a team golf league that plays short matches outdoors. Like, go find places you can have these matches and do them outdoors. Or at least some outdoors, some indoors, whatever. And I know that kind of flies in the face of having like a team in New York and Boston, because you are not playing outdoor golf in January in either of those places. But I think that would make more sense in the long haul. Nevertheless, you've got another team with an actual name and bodies involved, and Ludwig's involved is great. That's a great sign. I think that's a smart thing. Then the other thing I want to point out is we've got an announcer group now for the U.S. Open. And that was supposed to come out, I thought, late last week. But today is the media day for the U.S. Open. So they brought that news out for today. This was a mystery. This wasn't even known to the USGA probably until the weekend when they put all of this out there. So they're going to have 20-some-odd commentators over the course of these 4 days of the championship. I think this is... So, all right, let's just go through the news. So the 18th tower, the main tower, the A team, is Dan Hicks and Brandel Chamblee. Your B team is Mike Tirico and Brad Faxon, which I think Faxon is better than Chamblee. I think Tirico and Dan Hicks are both very good. They both do things differently, but they're both very good. And it's great to hear Tirico call golf. He just does everything so smooth. Dan's a little different. He does things very well, but does differently than Tirico. Faxon, I think, is wonderful. I think he does a great job kind of peeling things back a little bit. I wish he would peel it back a little bit more, especially when he's talking about the work that he does with players like Rory McIlroy. I wish he would do that, acknowledge it, instead of just going silent about it, which is kind of stupid in a world where we all know what's happening. But I would take Faxon 100 out of 100 times over Brandel Chamblee. Not because I think Chamblee is bad as a personality. He is exactly why Live From exists on Golf Channel. It existed for him and for Rich Lerner, because Rich Lerner does an awesome job. It exists for those two guys. And over the years, that third person used to be Frank Nabilo. It's been Justin Leonard. It's been Paul McGinley. But they found foils for Chamblee, and that's the platform for Chamblee to do his best. When he's behind the mic and can't stare in the camera and point and do the stuff, you know, point other people and do the stuff that he does, it's not as effective. And he kind of fumbles the ball a bit as an analyst to explain golf as it's happening. Very good job of explaining it after the fact. As it's happening, not so much. So I think that's a mistake. They've brought three people back that were effectively fired or walked away from the job. Jim Mackay's back. He is done with Justin Thomas. They broke up before the Masters. So he's back for this week. Roger Maltby's back. He's an on-course reporter for the week. Gary Koch's back as an analyst for the week. That doesn't make any sense. Then you've got these kind of, for lack of a better term, you've got pairings of host analysts for different periods of the championship. And we mentioned the top two. Then you've got Terry Gannon and Nota Begay the third, which that's fine. Steve Sands and Gary Koch. if Steve Sands is not the future replacement for Dan Hicks someday, what have we been doing for the last 10 years? I love Sandsy. He's great. I think he can do a very good job in this role someday. Then you've got Rich Lerner and Kurt Byram. Cool with me. They're both great. Tom Abbott and Aaron Oberholzer are the sixth pairing. Tom does a fine job. Aaron does a good job. They'll be fine. Then your on-course reporters, John Wood, Smiley Kaufman, Bones, Raj, Byram, apparently doing double duty, and Paige McKenzie. And then your interviewers are Damon Hack and Kira Dixon. So, just, I thought they would figure out something different, and I'm not sure why they're not leading with Faxon. I think Faxon would be the right play here. He did it. He did it effectively for Fox for a number of years in this role at these championships. And to put Brandel in that spot, I think, is not doing Brandel a service. I assume, of course, he's going to be on live from as part of that with McGinley and Lerner, so they'll do some form of double duty. Still, it would be nice for them to kind of nail someone down who's going to do this permanently, because it's not Brandel. It seems like that's pretty clear to me that it's not Brandel. And if it is Brandel, that doesn't really add up either. It feels like they've got to land on some. They've had so many different people in the lead analyst spot. They've had Kevin Kisner, Paul McGinley, Kurt Byram, Brandel, Fax, Jim McKay. Frank Nabilo was the lead for a little while. Luke Donald, Smiley Kaufman. Now, if they could steal him away or bring him back, I would really like Frank Nabilo in that spot. I love Frank Nabilo. He is so good. He just really does a great job. And he would work fewer dates, right? He wouldn't have to work for all. CBS is the workhorse. They do most of the events. NBC doesn't. They do the opens, the playoffs every other year now. And then they do, like six or seven other events? Like, that's where you want to be. However, NBC is trying to spend as little money as humanly possible on their broadcasts. And it shows. And everyone knows it. So they may not be willing to pay Nabilo what he should make. And he would have to get paid good money to leave CBS, which I think is firing very well as a team. And you may not like all the commercial breaks, and I don't. But as a team, as a commentary team, what they do with the presentation otherwise is very good. So maybe you look at a Luke Donald, who I thought was wonderful at the Valspar in that role. He was great. I would love to hear him more often if they would be willing to get him out and do the event. Again, not a lot of dates. Smiley's great, but I think Smiley's got a personality that should not be hidden by being in the 18th tower. He has a personality that should be out there either on course or doing his happy hour stuff that he does. That's great too. Keep that, build that, grow that. So I think that's the way to go. Now, here's an interesting add-on to the Faxon Chambly thing that I did not see in the NBC press release that came out today. The usage of these guys will alternate not by shift, but by hole. Chambly will be the analyst on even holes and Faxon on odd holes. What? That's a horrible idea. Like, what they do for the Open makes the Open Championship makes sense. We're like, all right, well, we're going to have this crew call it for 4 hours or 6 hours or whatever it is. I don't know what the exact amount of time is. And then you have the next crew come in and they work together for 6 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is. That's how you, not odds and evens. That's terrible. What are we doing? What are we doing? This is just miserable. And the fact that they've got to bring back Raj and Maltby and Bones, guys who, these are on per-event contracts, right? They did it for the players for a couple days. Raj and Coke would have stayed for free and done it. Because Roger Maltby made it very clear he misses doing this job, and he's still very upset that his contract wasn't renewed. And by the way, he's still good at it, but they don't want to spend the money. And they need it. They need these guys this week because They need to cover this thing for 500 hours of the week. That's how much they paid for. They're going to get the max. It just doesn't make sense. I think it's a terrible mistake what they're doing with the network. And they have got to make a choice. They've got to decide who they want to do this full-time, and they've got to make an investment in that person. Kudos to CBS years ago for deciding. Nick's going out the door. We know our replacement. His name is Trevor Immelman. And it didn't matter that Trevor's won one major and really doesn't have much of the resume otherwise. They knew he was a good voice to explain golf. And he's gotten better in that role and more comfortable in that role. And now when they check in the booth and it's Nance and Immelman, you don't go, oh, well, that's the one-time major champion Trevor Immelman, just like you didn't do that with Ken Venturi. You just went and said, hey, this guy's good at describing golf. Let's talk. Let's get this thing going. And they've got to find that person at NBC. And it can be Luke Donald. It could be Brad Faxon. I think those are probably your two most likely contenders. You could go hire Nablo if you spend some money. But those are your three options. I don't think Smiley is great as a breath of fresh air, but I don't think he's long for doing it permanently. He doesn't want to be a buttoned-up guy like that. Not the way NBC probably wants him. So there are your three choices. Go make one and get it fixed. Like, fix this product. Or just give up and give it to somebody else. Seriously. Figure it out. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate it. Back tomorrow with another one. Got a good week again on Slate. Two PGA Tour events. We've got Wells Fargo Championship with 70 players in the signature event. We've got no Scottie Scheffler playing. We've got the Myrtle Beach Classic, the PGA Tour debuting in Myrtle Beach, which is going to be great fun. Very excited for my friends down there. We've got Nelly Korda going for a sixth tournament in a row in the LPGA's Cognizant Founders Cup in New Jersey. That should be the highlight of the week. And we have no LIV event. We have no Korn Ferry Tour event. We have no DP World Tour event. We do have a Champions Tour major, the Regents Tradition in Alabama. If some interesting things come out of that, we'll talk about that as well. Thank you so much for listening. Get a hold of me right at thegolfnewsnet.com. Went over the socials earlier in the show if you want to check them out. Leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. It helps us reach more people. We will talk to you tomorrow on Two Off the First.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.